Well, good morning, Wake. How we doing? We awake? Let's go. My name is Jermaine Harrison, if we have never met, and I get to spend a lot of my time with high schoolers in Shoreline, and sometimes I get to hang out with you guys, which is so fun and an honor and a privilege. Let me show you a picture of my family, just in case you've never met them before. That's my wife, Hannah, and our one-year-old son, Winslow. That was taken a couple months ago, but you don't take professional photos every week, so just here you go. There's our family, and like I said, I spent a lot of time with older versions of you, and it is such a privilege to get to be here this morning. Specifically, eighth graders, I'm so pumped because you're getting close to being in high school, right? And some people over there are pretty excited about high school. I want to invite you specifically at the end of April, April 27th, so in 3 weeks, we're going to have our last Shoreline, our large group gathering of the school year, and it is completely led by the senior class of 2022, and it's so fun for you guys to get to come experience it for your small group on that night, Wednesday, April 27th, and you guys can look forward to it when you get to eighth grade and get to come visit Shoreline. And your leaders will get some more info as well as some opportunities over the summer. So I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to continue this series we're calling More Than a Feeling, as we've been walking through God's good design for sex. I know that Austin set it up well last week, that we're having an awkward conversation, if you will, in church, but we really think that this is so important for you to have a biblical perspective of what God has to say and how he informs the way you and I view and understand sex. And if maybe abuse is a part of your story, man, we want to say that we care for you, and we want to know that, and we want to be there for you, whether it's through your small group leaders or your parents, all together just making sure that I know that this topic might be sensitive for you, or maybe if this is something that's a part of your past, or maybe even your present, you might feel guilt or shame in this moment as we're talking about it. And I just want to say to you that God's grace, Christ's love, is enough, is sufficient, okay? So I just wanted to say all of that before I jump into this message. And so here's how I'm going to start it. A few weeks ago, it finally happened. My wife and I had bought our house back in 2020, and when we bought the house, one of the fences, it was leaning just a little bit. And we were like, it's not that bad. And over time, it leaned more and more and more, just a little bit every time, right? And then a couple weeks ago, we went away on a spring break trip, and then we came back to our house, and this is what we saw. It was down, which is so tough. I mean, there was some windstorm, tornado watches, warnings, whatever it was. But up for the better part of 2 years, this fence was slowly, slowly falling down. And then this strong wind came and blew it over. And the reason I start with that illustration or that analogy is because God's good design for sex is a sturdy and well-built wall. But our culture, maybe even your friends, our enemy, the devil, and even our sinful hearts want to break down that sturdy, well-built fence over time. Remember last week, Austin talked about this idea that God has your best interest in mind when it comes to this conversation or this issue of sex, and he provides us with safe boundaries, right? That sex is for marriage, it's for men and women, it's for mutual intimacy, for multiplication, and it is a model for Christ's love for the church. These boundaries are meant to offer safety and peace and clarity, but I want you to know that every single day you're being invited, every single day you're being tempted, if you will, to not buy it, to not believe what God's word has to say about it. But just not like all at once, just a little bit. Just a little changing of your mind. Just a little change of perspective on what you believe is okay or what you believe should be the way you live, right? It's not all at once. It's not this gigantic change in a couple days. It's tiny. And over time,
that fence eventually becomes destroyed, right? And I say that from personal experience. See, when I was your age, some of the movies I watched or the shows I watched or some of the music I listened to or some of the conversations I had with my friends or my classmates, all of those things pushed the boundaries of God's good design for sex and how I thought about it and how I lived it out. And unfortunately, in my teenage years, some when I was your age and some when I was a little bit older, and I made unwise choices that have left me, honestly, with some regret. And I've even had to reach out to girls, women from my past, and seek their forgiveness because I didn't lead them the way a follower of Jesus should. And so I don't stand up here, like the principal or the person who's experienced this and walked through this perfectly. In fact, I've made a lot of mistakes. And I don't want you to experience some of the scars that myself or maybe even some of your leaders have experienced. And so that's why it's so important for us to understand and embrace God's good design for sex. Because here's the truth. Too many of you right in this moment, whether you know it or not, realize it or not, you are ruining your present and your future. Or at the very least, you're setting yourself up for destruction. Slowly, over time, by pushing the boundaries of God's good design for sex. And so this morning, for the next few moments, I'm going to spend my time answering the question, what went wrong with sex, right? If it's so good and God created it and he provided it for us with so many different purposes that for us to enjoy, so why are we talking about this? Why is this such a serious issue for us to discuss at Wake? Answer. We started believing lies. You and I, we started believing lies. We started believing that our way was better than God's way. We started believing that whatever felt good was good. And we ended up with broken down fences, with hurt in our lives, broken relationships, and a flawed, inaccurate view of sex. So that's what went wrong. And so today, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to spend our time discussing three of the biggest lies that you are tempted to believe, are presented to believe, or maybe believe right now. And I want you to, as we walk through this message and spend time in God's Word, ask yourself honestly, man, do I believe that? Or do I live that out by the way I choose to conduct my life? And what does God's Word have to say about it? Because buying into any of these lies, believing them, embracing them, sharing them, will lead to disappointment, hurt, pain, and tragedy. And so let's pay close attention to lie number one, which is this. Lie number one is, it's only bad if I go all the way. It's only bad if I go all the way. That's a lie that the culture, our enemy, maybe even your sinful heart is trying to convince you of, maybe in this very moment. I've never done that, so all the things that I'm doing, it's okay. I want you to know that the long kisses, the looking at what you shouldn't look at on the internet, the images, the videos, maybe the inappropriate undressing or the inappropriate conversations that you have with your friends or in the locker room or when you're having your sleepovers, maybe the fantasizing that you've experienced, the sexting, if you will, that you've engaged in or seen. All of those things are aspects of one big thing, sex. And if you've engaged in those things, or if you've allowed them to creep slowly into your heart and into your life, even if you haven't gone all the way, you are not experiencing this gift that God gave us in the way that we should. And to be clear, maybe if you're attracted to a guy or a girl or you have desires, like those desires are God-given, right? That's why, literally, there's so many people that get married. Like, that's a normal part of life. But too many of us, especially when we're in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, come up with what we think sex is or what it should be from our culture and from ourselves and from our friends. And so we seek this God-given gift in a way that does not honor God, which includes some of those things that I was sharing about. Proverbs 6, verse 27. Here's what it says. Proverbs 6, 27. Can a man or woman, obviously, can a man or woman scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? And so what that verse is saying to you and I is that even though we might not go all the way, the things that we're looking at, the conversations that we're having, the activities that we might be engaging in as it relates to sex, what you're doing is it's like you're heaping coals of fire into your lap. Anyone ever been camping or ever started a fire at all and seen the coals? Yeah, of course. Most of you have. Imagine you sitting around that campfire, sitting with your family or your friends or whatever, and you say, you know what I want to do right now? Go into this fire, take these hot embers, and just throw them on my lap. This is going to be so fun. No, it's dangerous. It's painful. It's going to leave lasting hurt and harm to you. And to that I say, exactly. All those things and activities and thoughts and conversations that might not be going all the way, but you're heaping coals of fire into your lap. That's what Proverbs 6:27 says. But Jesus, he offers us a better way. In Matthew chapter 5, he's given one of the most famous sermons ever given, the Sermon on the Mount. And in verses 27 and 28, here's what Jesus says. Here's how he informs your heart and informs your life and informs the way you should think about sex. He says this in Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery, which is cheating on your spouse with someone else that's not your spouse. But I say to you, anyone who even looks upon a woman, and obviously vice versa, with lust has already committed adultery, the sin against God in his or her heart. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that purity is the line, not sex. Our world tries to tell you, hey, maybe you don't need to go all the way, but you can do all of these other things and it's okay. It's not that bad. It's not as bad as this. But God offers a better way for you to live, for you to view sex, which is that purity is the line. Trusting him to provide for you or enjoy this good gift in the context in which it was meant to be experienced in marriage between one man and one woman. Jesus offers a better way. Purity is the line and not sex. And so, man, maybe some of you believe that lie, that it's only bad if I go all the way. And it is exactly that, a lie. It's not true. And it's causing so many of us, little by little, to change how we view God's good design for sex. Here's a second lie that we're tempted to believe, or maybe even believe right now. I can determine the purpose of sex in my life. I can determine the purpose of sex in my life. In other words, I can decide what it means for me, right? In our world, our culture has given us so many different purposes for sex. Maybe some of these you've heard before. Sex is just for fun. It's meant for hooking up, for having fun with your friends. It's something you experience, you know, when you're a teenager, and then you figure it out when you're an adult. It's just for fun. Or it's the next step in your relationship. If you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you've been dating for a while, of course this is something that you should do next. That's what our culture says. That's what our world says. That's what social media says. Or maybe it's meant to prove the maturity in your relationship. Like, yeah, I'm a man or I'm a grown woman. So, yeah, that's the obvious next thing I should do. Unfortunately, anytime any part of God's plan is ignored, there's physical, there's mental, there's emotional, and there's even spiritual consequences. Like you've heard Austin saying, like I'm saying today, sex is only appropriate and free of consequences and truly fulfilling when it fits within the context of God's purposes. It's not what you define it as. It's not what you think it is or what you've been told that it should be. It has a purpose, and we don't get to define that purpose. In fact, when we define the purpose of sex, like we mess things up. We ruin our lives. When we use something for a purpose that it was not intended to be used for, it leads to hurt and harm and broken relationships. Here's a quick example of this. What do you use ketchup for usually? There you go, there you go. 4th of July, you put it on burgers, you put it on hot dogs or whatever it might be. Imagine this morning you were like, man, I'm so thirsty. I really need a drink of water. Or maybe you've gone out on a run or you're working out or playing a sport and you are so thirsty and you go to the side and you get your cup of water and you open it and you just squirt some ketchup all in that water. You stir it around and you drink it. Man, that's so refreshing. Wrong. Or what do you use mustard for? Nothing. You're out. And Matt, how many of you guys like eating cereal, like bowls of cereal? People over here, okay. How many of y'all are a milk first and then the cereal second? We got, okay, how many of you are cereal first and then milk? That's the right way, that's the right way. Now imagine with me, you're sitting at your table at your house. Come there with me in your mind. You're sitting there. There's a smile on your face. You pull over your Honey Nut Cheerios or your Kellogg's Frosted Flakes or your Apple Jacks or whatever you like. You put it in the bowl, and then you just drizzle some mustard on there. The reason you're responding like you are, the reason you're responding like you are, come back with me, I know that was gross, it is. The reason you're responding like you are is because you're using something for a purpose it was never intended to be used for, right? And in a way more significant and meaningful way for your life. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, your friends, your teammates, maybe even some of your parents, you are defining for yourself what you think the purpose of sex is. And I'm telling you that so many of us, so many of you are using it for a purpose that it was never meant to be used for. And it's causing you stress and anxiety and broken relationships. And really, you are forfeiting so much of the blessing that you'll experience in the future if the Lord so blesses you with the gift of marriage by using this gift in a way it was never intended to be used. So it's a lie that you can determine the purpose of sex in your life. In fact, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, a familiar passage that you've heard 1,000 times, or you've maybe even committed it to memory, I want you to think about it in a new way. As it relates to God's good design for sex. The writer says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In other words, don't decide what you think the purpose is for you. Do not depend on your own understanding, but instead seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you the path to take. Does that make sense? Don't trust in yourself, because left to yourself, you are easily going to create different purposes for God's good design for sex that don't meet His standards and requirements that allow you to be blessed. Don't trust in yourself, but trust in Him and seek His way. Lastly, the last lie that we believe is this. Sex leads to love, right? Sex leads to love, right? Many people will engage in sexual relationships in their quest to find love. A guy might say to a girl, if you really love me, you would fill in the blank. Or a girl might say to herself, maybe he'll love me if I just fill in the blank, whatever that thing is. And again, it might not be going all the way, and you might feel better about it, but it's still a lie, and it's still a misuse, a slowly but surely misuse of God's good design for sex. And they think that by having these experiences, that person will in turn love them more. And that is a lie. Let me say something as clear as I can right now. Girls, immature boys want affirmation from you. Immature boys want affirmation from you. And so if they can get you to send them something, if they can get you to say something to them, if they can get you to act a certain way or get involved in a certain activity, then they feel affirmed. And that's a mark of immaturity. And you shouldn't be spending your time with immature boys who are in it for themselves and their affirmation. Mature boys find their affirmation in Christ. And guys, immature girls, they want attention from you. And they'll do anything they can to get your attention. But mature girls find their attention in Christ, truly. Because Jesus shows us what real love is all about. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, and then we'll wrap up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul, one of Jesus' followers, he gives us the definition for sex. And he gives us a definition for love by explaining what it is and what it's not. He says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. Love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and endures every circumstance. What is not there is love seeks to find affirmation or attention through sex or anything that might not be going all the way. That's not in that list. Because you can't manufacture love. It is a choice. It is an action. It is a sacrifice. It is permanent. Guys, we see the greatest expression of love through the God of the universe who created all that there is and everyone that has ever lived, and that he sent his son Jesus to live perfectly and to hang on a cross, putting your sin, your burdens, all on his shoulders. And replacing the judgment that you and I deserve with his righteous life and a relationship with God. And he took our sin on himself. That is love. That's what these verses describe. Not seeking affirmation, not seeking attention through our actions or through our thoughts or whatever else it might be. So what went wrong as we close? Is that we rejected God's good design for sex, and we've been coming up with excuses for our choices ever since. We rejected God's good design for sex. That it was meant for marriage between men and women, mutual intimacy, as a picture of Christ's love for the church. We rejected that. We said, that fence, eh. And slowly but surely, we've been coming up with excuses or reasons over time. And the fence has just been going lower and lower and lower. Maybe in your life, the fence hasn't fallen down. And you haven't experienced the deep sorrow and pain and regret that might come from rejecting God's way. But if you keep going the way you're going, you will, unfortunately and sadly. And we don't want that. We being myself, the Wake team, all of your small group leaders, all of your parents that love Jesus and want to follow God. We want what's best for you because God has your best interests in mind. But there's some good news that even though that's true, Christ came to save us and he gave us the power and the ability. So we can't even do it on our own and we shouldn't even try. We should allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us. God's Holy Spirit to inform us and how we should respond to God's good design for sex. And so let me give you three quick points of application, and then we're out of here, okay? So if you want to embrace God's good design for sex, if you want to reject these lies that it's only bad if you go all the way, or that you can determine its purpose, or that sex leads to love, if you want to push those lies back and be informed with truth and allow the sturdy fence of God's good design for sex to stand strong in your life, here are three things really quickly I want to encourage you to do. Number one, clear out your inputs. Clear out your inputs, and here's what I mean by that. Think of the music you might listen to, the movies you might watch, the shows that you might watch, the social media you might consume. Subtly, there might be messages, ideas, lies that are in that media or whatever it might be that are challenging you and tempting you to draw you away from what's true. Maybe you just need to stop listening to that artist, or maybe you need to stop watching that show. Maybe you need to have someone hold you accountable to what you're watching on YouTube, or you know, whatever else social media you might have. So clear out your inputs. The second one is to clean up your conversations. Whether it's in class, it's when you're hanging with your friends, it's in the locker room, wherever it might be. It's so easy to allow the inputs maybe that you've put in to come out in those conversations. And maybe some of you need to ask for forgiveness. Friends, teammates, family members, small group members, I've been unhelpful in the conversations that I've started or contributed to as it relates to this. And I'm so sorry. Will you help me to do better going forward? And some of you, maybe you just keep it inside. And you've thought, you've fantasized, whatever it might be. And I want to encourage you to confess those thoughts, first to God and to people that can be helpful in the process, whether that be your parents, your small group leaders, or maybe even some trusted friends in your group to help you continue to embrace God's good design for sex and to reject what you might be tempted to and inclined to run towards. So clear out your inputs, clean up your conversations, confess your thoughts, knowing that God has your best interests at heart with this really important aspect of your life. Let me pray that we would. God, we love you. Thank you for these students, and thank you for your word and how it informs us and transforms the way that we view sex. I pray for these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders that the truth of your word would stamp out the lies that they're tempted to believe, embrace, or act upon. And I pray that as they walk out of this room and walk into whatever's next and into class and whatever else this week, that their perspective of your good design for sex would be informed by your word and not by the world. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.